Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Can we get to Sean Devereaux?
Is his name Sean or Sean?
It's Sean. Yeah, Devereaux. It's Sean. No, Sean, that's Leroy Butler.
Is it S-H-A-W-N
you blame him.
S-E-A-N?
S-E-A-N, correct,
Sean?
Sean,
cuz.
Devereaux.
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Sean, what's up, Sean? Appreciate the time, man. As always, as you join us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, we've been talking all day long, or the last hour for sure, about Chris Middleton. Seemingly the last year and a half long, for how much you're going to be able to pay Chris Middleton. Where right now do you see the market for Chris Middleton number wise when he hits free agency?
You know, he's going to probably get a max offer from somebody. Yeah. I would think Dallas would probably be a pretty good candidate. Dallas is going to try to make a big play for the likes of Kevin Durant, you know, guys like that. But probably not going to be a factor there. So it's going to be down to a guy like Chris Middleton for a team like the Mavericks. And if that's the case, then that's going to force the Bucks to go into that sort of territory, you know, of 4 years and $120-something million. It's a lot. There's no question. And you're making a commitment to a guy who's been up and down. And when he's good, they generally win. But he's not always good. And so that's going to be a tough decision. But obviously a really good two-way player. It's been a successful season. And you need to keep guys there if you want to keep the big fish. And that's of course, Giannis. So I think that in the end, they'll probably have to dole out more for Chris Middleton than they'd like.
Let me ask you this. So Brian Windhorst earlier today said they got a max slot available. Nobody's talking about the Bucks being a big player in free agency, but they very well obviously could be. Obviously, there'd be no Middleton in that scenario. But how much of a player do you think they would be for a Durant or a Kawhi or some of those guys that are available that are clearly better than Chris Middleton, but you'd have to pay max money too?
You know, I mean, Durant, if he went to Milwaukee, I think that'd be a huge coup. It's not something that we've heard anything about. You know, it's going to be tough enough for any team to pry him out of Golden State, although he does seem, a little aggravated with his situation there for whatever reason.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the Knicks will be after him, and there's been a lot of talk about the Knicks. Like I said, the Mavericks are another possibility.
But Sean, why would he go to New York to deal with that media base if he can't handle the West Coast media?
I don't know. And why would he leave? Why would he leave a situation where you're playing for probably the best team that's been assembled since the 1960s Celtics? I don't know why you would leave that. Apparently it's because a bunch of people on Twitter call them weak for going to a front runner. If you're letting people on Twitter decide what you're doing with your career, I don't. No, he's a strange cat, and I can't really explain why Kevin Durant is going to do whatever he's going to do. But as far as your question goes, I mean, you're right. You know, players say it all the time. Well, I want to be in a situation where I can win. Okay, then why are you going to New York? Like, what are the Knicks? Why wouldn't you go to Milwaukee? But players just genuinely don't do it. And it's really, it's players who wind up going there. And experiencing it, whether it's Milwaukee or I think of Ray Allen when he was there or certainly Reggie Miller when he was in Indiana. You know, you wind up in a market like that through the draft or whatever, and very often guys wind up liking it, but you wouldn't wind up there unless you were drafted there or got traded there. And that's just for a lot of small markets, that's the situation that they're in.
I want to get back to Chris Middleton. So, what do you think the Bucks should do? Because if they let Chris Middleton go, I mean, right now, no real replacement for him. Should they match their offer or should they just let him go? Because you also have Bledsoe sitting
no, Yeah, I mean it's a tough thing because if you match the offer, we've seen this time and again in the league that then you wind up overpaying for a guy, and that can handicap you for the near future. You know, a team like Charlotte, you know, went through that where they had this great year. You know, they won, I think it was 46 games. This was like 3 years ago, and they paid everyone, and everybody was a free agent. So they paid Nick Batum this crazy $100-something million contract. They've regretted it ever since, and that's what happens. They paid Michael Gilchrist. They paid Marvin Williams. So they paid everyone, and then they just really haven't matched that. So, you know, you can very quickly, you know, there's only, let's face it, in the NBA, there's like nine guys who are really going to be important to you. You got your five starters and probably four guys off the bench. So if you make a mistake on one of those, it can cost you, and it can be real tough. And as good as Chris Middleton could be, they're going to have to overpay him to keep him, and that could be something that hurts the cap going forward.
Talking with Sean Devaney of Sporting News on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show.
Sean, I do have a question. I'm a big John Horst guy. I don't understand why he don't get a lot of credit. maybe because he don't have a big name, splash name as these GM, like a Magic Johnson and stuff like that. But what does Mirotić do for the Bucks? Because that was a name I didn't necessarily see in a lot of the blogs or some of the, you know, the gossip or, you know, people thinking about acquiring players. But I thought it was a good player for them, either coming off the bench or moving into. So what does he do for these guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, just to address the first thing you said, I agree that Horst, that was particularly high profile, or that a lot of us in the media dealt with a lot. But certainly, look, if they go deep into the playoffs, he's going to get a lot of credit for that because he brought in, obviously, the coach, but also, you know, the George Hill move, and now the Mirotić move, the Brook Lopez, you know, getting him. I mean, he'll deserve a lot of credit, and he'll get it the longer they stick around in the playoffs. But, you know, Mirotić, when you look at their style of play, they need to be able to have as many guys on the floor, especially when you get into the bench unit, who can stretch the floor. And I don't think that they've felt entirely confident that Ilyasova is going to be the guy who can do that. Mirotić has a lot of playoff experience. He's a guy who has been in the playoffs. He's been tested. He's been through that. And I think he's a guy who can really, you know, give you 15, 16 points off the bench and allow you to play some different matchups. Because he can play some center as a guy who doesn't need to be near the basket. So you get into the playoffs and you have those matchups. You have teams going small. I think he allows you to go small, and he gives you somebody who you're probably more comfortable with as a big man than Ilyasova in the way he's played this year.
Yeah, one thing we talk about here in Milwaukee, because we never had a superstar of this level in a long time, Giannis, and we've had the debate in the barbershop to say half of the barbershop says, hey, he needs to develop a jumper. He's been in the league for 6 years or whatever. He does have a consistent jumper. The other half of the barbershop, and that's the one I'm on, if you can score 30 or 40 whenever you get ready, no one can stop you in the paint. Why even beat your head against the wall? Because I understand what people say. In the playoffs, they're going to play you different. They're going to block off the paint. You're going to have to hit the mid-range jumpers from the elbow and things of that nature. Sean, what side do you come on when it comes to Giannis's game?
Yeah, you know, I think he should have a jumper. You know, I think in the playoffs that you tend to pack the paint a little bit more and it gets a little more difficult. I like what the Bucks have done, which is basically say, all right, if he's not going to make jumpers, then we're going to have four guys on the floor who can, and that's going to allow him to do whatever he does best. But that becomes a lot easier to defend in the playoffs. It really does. As like I say, you get more defenses willing to pack the paint. You get more defenses willing to play, if not a straight up zone, then use some zone techniques that allow you to play off of a guy and force him to shoot jumpers. You know, that's really something that's going to come up in this playoffs, and we'll see how they handle it. But you know, it's funny because you talk to people in the Bucks organization, and they'll say, you know, in practice, he's a pretty good 3-point shooter, you know, and he's a pretty good mid-range shooter. It's just he doesn't trust it in the game, and it's to me, it's probably more of a mental hurdle now that he has to get over.
And
that's something that we'll see if he gets there.
Sean, who would you say is the number one threat to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference?
Probably Toronto. I mean,
Thank
I like
you.
What they did.
I'm
with
glad
Marcus
you didn't
Saul.
Say Boston. Thank you. You made my day.
The Celtics are falling apart before our eyes here. So, yeah, they've got a lot of talent, and but you know, they've sort of they've run their team like it's you know, an asset management firm or something. You know, you've got to take into account some chemistry at some point, and the Celtics haven't done that. But I think Toronto, I think that bringing in Marc Gasol, he's a really good fit for them, and the way they run their offense, they can run it through him. He's such a terrific passer. Not the same guy defensively, obviously, that he was a few years ago. He's a step slower. But in terms of what Toronto does, I like that pickup. So I think Toronto is right there on Milwaukee's heels. I think the Celtics can be a threat. They got a lot of stuff to work through, but they've got certainly the talent level is high. Philadelphia obviously improved their talent, but I still think we're looking at probably Toronto and Milwaukee as the two best teams in the East.
Sean Devaney, he's a Sporting News NBA writer, Fun City, and my favorite here, Sean, on the @SeanDevaney Twitter profile, Buffalo Wing Enthusiast.
Well, I'm going to follow him on Twitter. Right?
I will join you on that one tonight.
Yep, I'm going to follow you right now.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Appreciate it. Sean Devaney of Sporting News joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to build, buy, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Call Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.